The wind blows stiffly across ridgetops in Humboldt County. Those are good places to build wind turbines to generate electricity, so it's no real surprise that someone wants to do that. As with any major project, there are questions, concerns, and opposition. We heard some of that last week over the plan by the renewable energy company TerraGen to erect dozens of wind turbines on Bear River and Monument Ridges near Scotia. This week, we hear from the company just a day before a comment period at the Humboldt County Planning Office closes. Natalyn DeLapp is community liaison for TerraGen and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Natalyn, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for having me.
So TerraGen appears to have a lot of irons in the fire. Tell us a little bit about the company and where you have projects underway.
TerraGen is the most experienced wind developer in California. It currently has built and maintains about 40% of the wind farms in California. It also has projects in Wyoming and Minnesota and Texas.
And how long have you been in the business in California?
The company has been around for about 20 years.
All right. So do you have some of those turbine arrays down near Mojave and Tehachapi and those places?
Yes. TerraGen operates the Alta Wind Project, which is the largest wind farm in the United States, with about 1,500 megawatts of electricity being generated from about 800 turbines.
Okay, so you're not just getting started here. You not only have expertise in building, but also in operating the wind farms.
Absolutely, and as well as the company comes in and will purchase old wind farms and repower them with modern technology, and then take on the process of operating and maintaining them.
So, how did you come to focus on Humboldt County?
Well, Humboldt County, the Cape Mendocino has one of the most robust wind resources in the western states. And so through looking at the various areas of Northern California, it was able to hone in on Cape Mendocino. And then through cooperation with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and California Department of Fish and Wildlife, we're able to take a couple ridges off the possibilities, which were Long Ridge, Rainbow Ridge, and Shively Ridge. And so within that, we started to focus on Monument and Bear River Ridge.
So there have been discussions of both onshore projects like this and offshore projects. Does TerraGen do any offshore projects? Was it ever considered for Humboldt County?
No, TerraGen does not do offshore projects. It has focused on solar and wind onshore.
Okay, so again, we're talking about the Bear River Ridge and Monument Ridge after ruling out some others. I mean, how is it really just as simple as this is the amount of wind that we get on these places?
No. There's limitations within the grid structure. So we are looking at putting in 155 megawatts worth of turbines, and so to generate that level of energy. And it then gets plugged in at the Bridgeville substation, where after line loss, it is 135 megawatts. And at that point, that is the maximum capacity of that substation. So the project can't get any bigger than that without, significant upgrades to the PG&E substation, which would be a separate project and done by a separate company.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about such considerations before, but there's a limit to what you can put out because there's a limit to what the grid can handle nearby.
Absolutely. And the grid is operated in California. It's operated by the California Independent Systems Operator, which is a non-governmental agency that operates and maintains the entire grid, moves all of the energy up and down the state, and it conducts about 28,000 market transactions a day to move energy around to meet the needs of the state of California.
So, Natalyn, with a cap at 155 megawatts generated, 135, you say, after line loss, so that this pretty much keeps down the number of turbines, I guess, but you're still talking potentially up to 60. Is it a fixed number, or what will determine that?
So that's a fun question. So, what the project is looking to do is put in 155 megawatts. That can be done with low-wattage turbines. Some are 2.2 megawatts and some can be up to 5 megawatts. And so there's going to be various considerations around, how to avoid, minimize, and mitigate impacts. And so the project could be done with as few as 35 turbines, with the 5 megawatt. These would be the tallest turbine, and so that allows the turbine to go further up into the wind resource. It doesn't necessarily mean that the rotor blade area is larger. It just means that they're taller and able to harness more energy. And so some of the best ways to reduce impacts to wildlife is to reduce the number of turbines, but then they increase perhaps the visual impact because they're larger.
Interesting. So you're trying to balance a whole bunch of things like where to find the wind, where to make the best use of it, how to reduce the visual impacts, how to reduce the wildlife impacts. You got a lot of different variables to consider.
Right, right. And so we're looking, so the way that we're permitting the project is we're looking at a 2,300-acre corridor. And so we've been studying this 2,300-acre space, which is 1,000 feet on both sides of the turbines and 200 feet on both sides of the road line to be able to, you know, what are the impacts? What is an all, up to 600 feet tall? So we've been looking at the maximum impacts that these turbines could have on the environment, 60 turbines blowing 100% of the time, 365 days a year, and then this swath. And so within that, we will be able to do micro-siting, you know, after the conditional use permit. So, you know, what's happening right now is the project is still in draft form. And I think a lot of people don't understand what that means in that this project's not fully understood. It's through the analysis of the project, through the analysis of the impacts and working with a dozen plus agencies and the public and the county that the project essentially gets massaged into what its final form would be. The county would offer, provide a conditional use permit. And then that is the prerequisite for dozens of other permits that come from other state and federal agencies. And so, you know, the county will start to, you know, solidify what and where this project is allowed. And then that allows the next steps to be taken by state and federal wildlife agencies, the Army Corps of Engineers, Fish and Wildlife Service, Department of Fish and Wildlife, and so on. So it's, you know, it's through this process over time that the final project will be determined. And so when we say we don't know exactly how many turbines there will be, it's because we have to go through this process. And, you know, I hope that the public is able to understand that this is a moving target. And it's over time that we will be able to definitively say what it will do and how much.
We are talking with Natalyn DeLapp, the community liaison for TerraGen, which is trying to build a wind farm, a wind turbine farm on Monument Ridge and Bear River Ridge in Humboldt County. The Humboldt County Planning Office will take comments until 5 p.m. tomorrow on the draft plan. You can join the conversation right now on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Since this is a conditional use permit and a county planning action at this stage of the game, the county could place some conditions upon you, height, width, any of that stuff?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right, let's take a phone call here. Grumpy John in Grants Pass is on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Natalyn DeLapp.
Thank you, Jeffrey. I would like to say that if she offered me free electricity for the rest of my life, the only requirement would be that I cut off my dog's legs, she wouldn't get much cooperation from me. And I have no objection to the look of the wind farm, but the freeway that they have to build to get the pieces there is so egregious, would kill the salmon, would kill the streams, would put a freeway across the land. It's just obscene that she is so greedy for the power that can be generated that you just ignore with a hobnailed boot stomping across the landscape. Ignoring that is obscene. Thank you.
All right, very
much.
Descriptive. Thank you for that, Grumpy John. Natalyn, how big a road do you have to build in to get this place built?
Yeah, well, let me actually take a step back. And you know, I was looking and I'm really excited to see some legislation that's coming out of Oregon. And Oregon is, right now in their legislature, is looking to pass some very significant climate change bills that are on par with California's climate energy reduction bills. California has some of the most ambitious renewable energy goals in the country, and Oregon is next and is trying to pass equally ambitious climate reduction and greenhouse gas reduction strategy. In Humboldt County, we recently passed a resolution that said that Humboldt County would be using 100% renewable energy by 2025, which is only 6 years from now. You know, the state of California, Oregon are moving the same way. Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change says that if the world does not start taking very ambitious and aggressive actions to reduce our dependence on fossil fuels, that within 10 years we are going to see irreversible climate change across the globe. And so as we look at our energy impacts, we have to look and say, you know, Oregon still is using a significant amount of coal energy. California is still using a significant amount of natural gas energy. Those energy sources come with a whole lot of impacts to groundwater, air pollution, water quality, environmental, you know, natural gas lines that are leaking methane. And so as we continue to look at doing nothing and the impacts of doing nothing, and then we start to compare it to the impacts of building a renewable energy project, which requires large infrastructure. This is going to be what we're seeing in Oregon, California, and across the United States. This project would require a 24-foot wide road. That is it. Mm-hmm. And the project would be coming in at Humboldt Bay by barge, entering in by trucks, and get on Highway 101, drive down Highway 101, make a right, and turn up Humboldt Redwood property using an existing road that would have to be upgraded to allow for 24 feet. They would be able to use some of the existing log deck landings that are already in place that would have to be opened up a little bit more to allow the trucks to make the turns. And so this is a project that is able to use a lot of the existing timber operation road network to be able to access this ridge line that is, it's a fairly deep, ridge lines often don't have a significant amount of trees on them. And half of Bear River Ridge is a grassland ridge used primarily for grazing, and Monument Ridge is a timber operation. And so there's a lot of very young trees that are up along that ridge line.
It's interesting because we actually talked about the logging operation on Rainbow Ridge yesterday. So it's a busy neighborhood, it sounds like, in terms of industrial work, either now or potential. So you're saying 24 feet wide, and then how big would the shoulders have to be for that road?
In some areas, there could be a 100-foot turnaround.
All right, so it is wider in places. Does this characterize, does this come close to the freeway that Grumpy John was just talking about?
No, certainly not.
You had mentioned earlier, Natalyn, about wildlife impacts, and we haven't talked about that aspect yet. So what kinds of issues arise in the area? What kinds of mitigations do you have in mind?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, that's one of the biggest concerns, are impacts to wildlife. And so there would be impacts to everything that you can think of, basically. So raptors, birds, bats, flowers, certain grasslands. That is the true concern. That is the impacts to salmonids due to sedimentation because of the road building. And so all of those impacts are looked at, and they have been thoroughly studied and analyzed. That's what's in the draft environmental impact report, and it's various mitigations. Some of the biggest mitigations to use are not siting the turbines in hot spots. So they've been studying how the marbled murrelet, which is the seabird that flies from the ocean to the old growth, where are the murrelets flying? So they've been using radar to analyze their flight paths, and not just where are they, but what elevation are they flying at? and how do they use the landscape so that they can avoid impacts. And where you can't avoid impacts, you try to minimize. That's where you can then put in a smaller turbine or move it a little bit. There's also a lot of surveys that have to be done during construction, looking for nesting raptors, putting buffers around sensitive species, 100-foot buffers for different types of activity. Then it's monitoring. It's a matter of, working with the government agencies to do continued monitoring and adaptive management. And if there was a specific turbine that was particularly destructive, then would that be curtailment, or would it have to be powered down during certain migratory periods or breeding seasons? And so, because there's so many species, there's different mitigations for every different species because they use the landscape differently.
We are talking about the wind project in Humboldt County, proposed for Monument Ridge and Bear River Ridge in the Scotia area. Natalyn DeLapp is community liaison for the TerraGen company, which is proposing to put this wind farm up. You can join the conversation on the Jefferson Exchange. The deadline for comments to the Humboldt County Planning Office, 5 o'clock tomorrow. You can join us right now on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. What issues are there to be resolved with land ownership or location of power lines and some of the other basic logistical things with this project?
All of those things are squared away. We have a lease with Humboldt Redwood Company, which is a timber operation company, as well as an individual ranch owner. The rest of the property, it's only two landowners, which makes things a lot simpler. You're not piecemealing them across dozens of landowners. All of the interconnection capacity has been studied and approved by CAISO, that California Independent Systems Operator. And, now it's a matter of going before the county, accepting public comments. I think more than 200 and something comments have been received by the county. And then the county has a legal obligation to respond to all comments, and then it will go before the County Planning Commission. It will then likely go before the County Board of Supervisors. And, if it's approved through that process, then, like I said, that's the prerequisite step to many of the other permits, which would be incidental take permits from Fish and Wildlife Service, Army Corps of Engineers, authorizing Section 401 and 404 Clean Water Act protections, state and regional water board protections, and grading permits from the county. So, that, like I said, there's many other pieces to this recipe before the thing can finally be built.
So should Humboldt County issue that conditional use permit, how long a road do you see ahead then? I mean, is it another 2, 3, 4 years before you could even begin construction?
I think that... completely honestly, I think that it will take another year. That's my assessment of understanding how fast the agencies move. And, like I just mentioned, all of these other agencies have to have their final approval.
Sure. But do you think in a year that could be done?
I'm cautiously optimistic that yes, it could. But at the same time, we all have to be realistic. And so from the time that this project was initiated and the studies began to the time when this thing can be built and operational, I would estimate 4 to 6 years in total.
So based on what you've seen, I know you've held community meetings around the area, I think in Scotia for sure. How would you compare the level of concern, Natalyn, in Humboldt with what you've seen on other projects?
Humboldt County, we have a very special environment here. We have a very special population of people, and we are very environmentally minded here. And we've also gone through difficult times with the timber wars and exploitation of resources. And so I think our population is very cognizant of not wanting to be exploited, not wanting to have our resources taken from us, and for the benefit you know, for the greedy, rapacious benefit of some outside corporation. And so TerraGen as a company has sought to be very sensitive to that, where we have really tried to engage with the public above and beyond the legal requirement that California law requires CEQA for noticing. We have held a dozen plus meetings. We've talked to almost 1,000 people and really just tried to engage with the public and the nonprofit environmental organizations, with the agencies, to solicit feedback to help shape this project in a way that is good for Humboldt County. And as for TerraGen as a business, you know, it's looking to start a business here. And its business is creating electricity out of the wind. And, you know, what locally here, California law allows for the development of community choice aggregation agencies. And so that is a localized entity that can purchase energy on behalf of its citizens. And so our local CCA is called Redwood Coast Energy Authority, mm-hmm. and that is a public entity. It's a governmental entity. Its board of directors is made up of local elected officials, and the public, you know, the public's able to engage that. And we have a proposal before the Redwood Coast Energy Authority to develop a power purchase agreement so that a portion, some, all, or none of the energy could be purchased for local use here.
So a lot going on, clearly, with the TerraGen project. The comment period, again, of the Humboldt County Planning Office closes at 5 o'clock tomorrow night. So if you're planning on commenting on this to the planning office, that's when to do it. By Natalyn DeLapis, Community Liaison for TerraGen. Thank you for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.